Coming up on Your Generic Live Show, everything from penalty rate cuts to Sydney's Mardi Gras, and everything from the Nintendo Switch to Adele. It's all coming up next on Your Generic Live Show. Your Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. I'm Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here. Welcome in to a brand new week, or a finishing of a brand new week. I don't know. That depends on your style of week. Thanks for joining us. Actually, if we were going on that, technically today would be Tuesday. So, yeah, no, Wednesday. Tuesday's my Friday. And if Monday was my Friday, I don't know. TGIF. No matter where you are, no. That's not how that works. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. I'm Dale Campbell. Regardless of that, I was just saying in the pre-show for the YouTube listeners, you should really listen live because it's a bunch of fun here on the YouTube channel to see my facial expressions as well as the audio content, because I don't hide. I try and not hide my facial expressions in the audio as well, because I try and exert things on the audio, but sometimes you need the facial expressions as well. youtube.com/genericliveshow. I was saying to them before the show started that Generic Live Show turns 3 next week. That's right, 3. We are having our 3rd birthday. I don't know, I realized that before coming to air, and I don't know if we've got anything special planned. I'll have to have a look, but yeah, it snuck up on me. 3 whole years. I feel like it's been since yesterday since starting the show. And I think keeping the show fun and introducing topics that, first of all, I want to talk about because it's a solo show. I know we've had guests here and there, but it's been predominantly me for 3 years. It's a bit scary. So there you go. It's been the Generic Live Show with Dale and sometimes friends. It's a Dale and sometimes friends show. All right, here we go. Diving into a brand new week because clearly you can tell that I really don't want to talk about our first story here. Now, Fair Work Commission cuts Sunday and public holiday penalty rates. Thousands of workers have their weekend salary slashed as the Fair Work Commission announced that they would reduce Sunday penalty rates in a landmark decision. This happened because we had our Oscars special. We missed out on this story last week, so it's a little bit old, but I think it's still worth talking about and kind of continuing to unpack it. Because we had our Oscars edition last week, we didn't have any news. So, and of course, this huge story that we'll be talking about in both hours of the program broke last week, because of course it did. Because we've been on vacation recently, so we haven't had to talk about that. And thank God no story of this magnitude, had broken in that time. This 1 hour and 45 minute audio clip, I think, kind of explains things in kind of a better way. Because this is, I believe, is the actual handing down of the decision from the Fair Work Commission.
There will be no change to Sunday penalty rates for level 2 and 3 employees in that award. Our reasons for adopting this course are associated with the preferences of level 1 employees and the limited impact of Sunday work upon those employees. In the retail award, the Sunday penalty rate for full-time and part-time employees will be reduced from 200 to 150%. The Sunday rate for casuals will be reduced from 200 to 175%. In the pharmacy award, we have only decided at this stage the Sunday rates for work performed between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. The rate for full-time and part-time employees for work performed between those times will be reduced from 200 to 150%. The Sunday rate for casuals will be reduced from 200 to 175%. Except in the fast food awards, and for the reasons we've explained, we have not reduced the Sunday penalty rates to the same level as Saturday penalty rates. For many workers, Sunday work has a higher level of disutility than Saturday work, though the extent of the disutility is much less than in times past. We also note that it is implicit in the claims advanced by most of the employer interests that they accept that proposition. If this were not the case, then they would have proposed that the penalty rates for Sunday and Saturday work be the same, but they have not.
That is the Fair Work Commission handing down the cuts to that. So here is the changes. Now, this is all level one awards, by the way. Just want to put that out there. And this excludes special enterprise bargaining agreements. So for those people who work at major retail outlets, much like myself, and do part-time work for a major retail outlet, we are not affected for those people listening, because I know I've got a few people who do work at major outlets that do that. I know that for retail. I don't know that for hospitality and pharmacy, but I am certain one thing that I would advise straight off the bat here is actually do go back, check with your employer. They need to be transparent with you as well on these changes that have happened as well. So a nice little neat table has been provided to me on explaining this. This one, for me, I'm taking this one as level one rates. So the hospitality award for the Sunday penalty rate for full on the hospitality award, employees on the hospitality award, full-time and part-time employees, from 175% of the normal wage will now be reduced to 150% of... will be reduced to 150% of the normal wage. No change for casuals. Fast food award for level one employees only. Full-time and part-time employees will be reduced from 150% of the normal working wage down to 125% of the normal working wage. For casual employees on the level one fast food award, wages will be reduced rates will be reduced from 175% of the normal wage down to 125%. The retail award for level one employees from full-time and part-time employees will be reduced from 200% of the normal wage down to 150%. For casual workers, on the level one retail award will be reduced from 200% down to 175% of the normal award rate. The pharmacy award for work performed between the hours of 7 and 9 p.m. only on Sunday, full-time and part-time employees will be reduced from 200% down to 150% of the normal wage. And for casual employees on the pharmacy award, performing duties between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Sundays only will be reduced from 200% down to 175%. That's basically the summary. And of course, this did spark major protests, as one could imagine. Now, other interesting awards that didn't get mentioned in that handing is the Registered and Licensed Clubs, or otherwise known as the Club Award, and the Restaurant Industry Award, Restaurant Award. So what's not clear in all of this, and my readings in preparing for the show here, as we do a well-informed show, I think it does include clubs and bars and restaurants as well in these cuts, from basically 25% cuts, except for if you're in retail, which is now a 50 50% cut if you're a full-time and part-time employee. That's the biggest cut down. If you're a full-time or part-time employee working a Saturday, you now lose 50%, well, not 50% of your wage, but 50% off the penalty rate that goes towards your wage. So you go, and the 15-page summary kind of just is a bit all over the place, but, and it's of course got, you know, highfalutin language in it. Now let's get to the public holiday rates, which applies to the same award, level one, hospitality. If you're on the hospitality award for level one, from full-time and part-time will be reduced from 250 down to 225. And if you're on the hospitality award at a casual rate, you'll be reduced down to 250. The restaurant award, if you're a full-time or part-time employee on that award, you now get reduced down to 225%. Casual stay at 250. There will be no changes to the public holiday rates in the club award. Retail award for public holiday, full-time and part-time, on level one will be reduced down to 225 and 250 for casual. And for fast food, the public holiday rates will be reduced down to 225 and 250, full-time, part-time, and casual, respectively. And on the pharmacy award, it's the same. It'll be 225 and 250 for full-time, part-time, and casual workers, respectively. So basically, 25% cuts there for everyone except for casual restaurant award workers and club award workers as well. Now, I wanted to get to this end of the statement. And here's where it's interesting. The section called on page 7 called Reasons. Now, the charges the full bent proposes to make Sunday and public holiday penalty rates will result in greater consistency in penalty rate settings in the hospitality and retail awards. Confused? So am I. In each Sunday and public holiday, penalty rates determined by the full bench, adopted by the PC final report, describes as default approach to setting the appropriate rate for casual employees. Under this approach, the rate of pay for casual employees will be 25 percentage points above the rate of pay for non-casual employees. Hence, if Sunday penalty rates for full-time and part-time employees is 150% of the normal working wage, I'm adding that in because it needs to be cleared, the Sunday rate for casuals will be 150 plus 25, which will be 175%. Okay, so for that, I'm claiming, you know, that it's going to be more consistent, if that makes sense. The approach adopted by the full bench in respect of Sunday and public holiday working rates for casuals may have implications of the rate paid to casuals for Saturday work under the retail award. Okay. This issue is referred to at a certain... Okay. It may also result in a shift from casual to part-time employment in respect of those employed in modern awards, which are to be varied. Okay. So it'll encourage people to go to part-time, which I've been working part-time now for a while, so I can say it's not easy shifting from casual to part-time, particularly in an economy that's not weak, but definitely not strong either, so it's a bit hard to say that, but anyway. So kind of moving down the line here, because we don't have time to go through all of these reasons. Designed to distinguish the hospitality and retail awards from other industries, which I don't understand why cutting it is a little bit here, but here we go. This is the one, I don't know why this kind of got under my skin. The appropriate level for Regulated penalty rates for weekend work, particularly on Sundays, is a number of discretionary customer service industries has become highly contested and controversial issue. Well, yes, but anyway, I'll continue. The industries of great modern concern are hospitality, entertainment, retail, restaurants, and cafes, otherwise never referred to as the acronym of HERRC. These are industries where consumer expectations of access to services has expanded over time, so the cost of penalty rates affect customer ambiguity in ways that did not when penalty rates were first introduced. Okay, I can get that. Such industries are also important for entry-level jobs, for, among others, relatively unskilled casual employees and young people, particularly students, needing flexible working arrangements. Excuse me. The provision of discretionary and therefore demand-responsive services on weekends is less frequent in most other industries, which is key, but not only, rationale for a concerned focus on the HERRC industries. It is noticeable that the Fair Work Commission, or FWC, is currently also considering appropriate penalty rates in awards, and that their focus almost exactly matches the group of industries that the Productivity Commission has identified as most relevant. Okay, so what that's essentially saying, that in English, ladies and gentlemen, is basically they're cutting the penalty rates 25% to ensure that more people, particularly young people that are untrained and unskilled, probably, I don't want to make assumptions here, but probably still in high school, which is fine. Like, that's, everyone has to start somewhere. Like, that's, I'm not knocking anyone for that. But these people that are unskilled need to enter into the workforce. And the Fair Work Commission believes that it's easier for them to enter into the workplace if wages get cut and penalty rates on the normal working wage gets cut. And here's where I mostly agree and disagree with the Fair Work Commission here. Now, so basically, the one way you want to get, it's a catch 22 here, really, when we talk about these sorts of things, mainly because, you know, you cut penalty rates to try and get more people into the industries. Whether people get into those industries or not is a totally different story, mind you. So, and it's not going to work. So this effort is basically meant to be used to get more people into the workforce. It's motivating. What I'm trying to say is you're not providing incentives for these unskilled young people, particularly high school students in most cases. You're not, what the hell was that? I don't know what, I don't know if that came in the recording, but it was kind of a weird noise, and that was me hitting myself. Anyway, what was I saying? But yet, by cutting their penalty rates, you're not giving them incentive to go into the workforce to earn less money than what they could have if they entered the workforce, say, 6 months earlier. Particularly, well, here on the 5th of March, you know, you're not giving them well incentive to go into the workforce, particularly now, knowing that they're going to be earning less in, say, 4 months' time when this comes into effect on July 1. You need to provide that kind of, that one-up and giving them incentives into that, you know, providing them in the workplace. So saying that you're going to give them more, it's going to create more jobs magically by cutting penalty rates, I kind of don't buy that. I can see a little bit where that works, but you're kind of not really giving them incentives to go to work at that point. Whew, sorry, I went a little bit off there, but I went a little bit around in circles and kind of attack it, but I am very passionate about this sort of thing. I mean, it is a balancing act, wages and cost for this sort of thing. Now, will this stop businesses from the public holiday surcharge? For those people who don't live in Australia, and I don't know if this is... I don't know if this is a thing in other areas, but where you have pay a certain percentage on your bill, depending on if it's a public holiday or a bank holiday or not, because... Or to counteract that, the increase in wage costs, if that makes sense. You know, you got to pay extra. I think most businesses charge a 10% surcharge to help them counteract increase with wages. So you get a 10%, our GST, our goods and services tax is 10%, but it's a 10% on top of that, on top of your entire bill, to help with wage costs and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I don't know if that is going to be mostly cutting weekend penalty rates on a public holiday will help get rid of that 10% surcharge, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's also a thing you need to consider. So, and it was deemed legal, I think, a couple of years ago now, before GLS time, that it was legal to charge that 10% to help with wage cuts as well. So there's that as well, from a business perspective and not only the employee perspective. Wow, okay, wow, so much more to talk about on this issue. As you can tell, I barely scratched the surface of this story. I'm not even kidding. Like, there is so much you could dig into this story, but we will cover this again next hour, because I've got so much more to say to it. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, something momentous happened over the last week. It was actually Thursday. Something momentous happened on Thursday, and we think you should know about it. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us. It's Dale Campbell here with you for a Sunday as we continue. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure as always to be here on GLS. It's 10:22. Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here as always. Well, something revolutionary happened over the last week. A console that we anticipated here on the GLS show. The GLS show. Wow. The Generic Live Show. It's like the ATM machine. You go to the ATM machine and get yourself... You can listen to the Generic Live Show from there. Something that we anticipated here on GLS, the launch of the Nintendo Switched. Switch, not Switched. Well, you now can get Switched. Have you Switched? Ah. Bad jokes ahoy! Alright, so... It has been labelled the premium It's been labelled the premium game hardware launch of the year. And it's just as bonkers as you expect from Japanese gaming giant Nintendo. I almost read the word bonkers as something different, and that would have been something a whole lot different. The console Switch console launched in Australia on Friday. Actually, it did launch on Friday here, technically. Thursday US, amid pre-order sellouts and frenzy of social media bragging. Wow. Yeah, well, that's true, actually. But after a disappointing predecessor just launched 4 years ago into the market, and a gaming drain to smartphone apps as its own Pokemon Go, can Nintendo re-energize its game console market? Like the Wii U before, the Switch... Things popping up all over my screen. It's a unique piece of gaming equipment. The $470 system arrives in five parts. you have to grab a screwdriver and screw it together. No, the main console with a 6.2-inch touchscreen, a dock to connect it to the TV, two Joy-Con consoles, a Joy-Con grip to connect a pair, to connect the pair. Okay. The Switch is designed to be hybrid game machines, offering the best of both worlds. Mobile when you want it to be, connected to the big screen when you want to see more. In TV mode, it operates as a regular game console with two Joy-Con controllers attached to the grip. In handheld mode, the controllers connect beside the main console unit and operates as an advanced Nintendo Game Boy. In tabletop mode, the screen is popped up onto a stand like a miniature TV. The two motion-sensitive controllers are used to complete actions like milking a virtual cow or playing quick draw games. Okay. How do you milk a virtual cow? Anyway, so don't want to go there. The Nintendo president says it's a new kind of home gaming system which will deliver new experiences, much like the Wii did when it arrived in 2006. But between now and then, Nintendo used the Wii U, which failed to excite the gaming market much. The console, also a hybrid controller, only accrued 13 million sales compared to its 101 million sales of its predecessor. It also only lasted 4 years on the Australian market. Oh. Nintendo also faces the challenge of an ever-moving gaming population, many of its fans turning to smartphones to play games, including the recently updated Pokemon Go, which actually we didn't talk about that on this show. We didn't talk about how Pokemon Go got a massive facelift. Basically, it's added Kanto and Johto Pokemon, so it's now up to, I think, about... Now you can find up to 80 more Pokemon, so there you go. Interactive Games and Education Association Chief Ron Curry, who predicts Nintendo console will be the biggest this year, says gaming merely expanding to more devices, as Nintendo console acknowledges. Quote, from our research, people are doing two things. They're either snack gaming, which tends to be gaming while they are going somewhere, or they are going somewhere to play a game, Curry says. Quote, they come home from work playing one short game, but when they get home, they're playing a different style of game, perhaps a more immersive style, unquote. Curry says adding familiar gaming characters to the new console will also help fuel the current trend towards retro gaming, as it's great to have modded gaming machines with titles that hooked you to gaming to start with. Such as games for coming to the Nintendo Switch, including Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and Super Mario Odyssey, and the return of Link in The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which will be available at launch. And I hear that Breath of the Wild is amazing. I hear the Switch is actually pretty good. It's had a strong start out of the gate from all I've heard. You know, they have had strong positive reviews out of the gate, and the Breath of the Wild has just, I saw a graphic the other day, and it's all nine and a halfs, tens. It's all been positive from what I've heard for the games on the Nintendo Switch. And what is this doing? Oh, this is going to play an ad, isn't it? We're going to hear an ad on the Generic Live Show and everyone's favourite segment of Dale flipping out when an ad comes on.
Sydney Story Factory is...
No.
...is a place where kids can find their...
Okay. How about no? If I can't mute you, I'm not going to play you. Which is okay, because we're up on a break anyway. So... I won't play your video. Thanks. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, I'm Dale Campbell. I'm guiding you through your weekly dose of genericness. Thanks for listening. An update on a story that we posted on our Facebook page earlier on, and we'll give you all the details of that. Plus, We, a little bit later on this hour, will check everyone. We'll check the Trump tracker for the first time since March. It's going to be a riot, trust me. As we continue here on the Jack Live Show, thanks for joining us. It's 10:32. Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. I'm Dale Campbell, guiding you through your week of genericness. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here as always. Now, a story that we posted on our Facebook page at facebook.com/genericliveshow. Hey, I got a Facebook plug-in this week. I just thought, whoa. I didn't realize that this song had audio. I had vocals in it. There you go. Wow. That song's desperate, apparently. Okay, well. I've formed a bad habit, by the way. I just want to clarify for people. I've developed a bad habit. If you hear this sudden clap noise, I don't know why, but this week, I've been sitting here when I've been on shows, and I've... A bad habit that I've started to do is slap my leg, and just whenever I say at the end of a sentence, it's weird. So I'd like in that last segment, I'd be talking, going, "Have you switched?" And just clapped like it's just. I don't know if anyone if you know what to do, please do email the show genericliveshow@gmail.com. Hey. There it is. That's the email shout out of the day. No, seriously though, like I need hints on how to talk, and I'm trying to get better with my ums. There was a period of time there, someone pointed out to me that I was doing a lot of ums to fill in space. I'm trying not to do ums, but it's hard to do a solo show for 2 hours. But I do try, and I do try my best. And like I said at the top of the show, it's 3 hours. But at 3 years, not 3 hours. Wow, the show being 3 hours, that's the next thing, is doing a full-fledged breakfast show. 2 hours on a Sunday is nice. That's where I want to get the show. I'll talk about that next week. But for the meantime, I want to get, you know, I want to get just someone to email me. And how can I knock off this slapping thing? I can't not have it. If I play with something else, if I have something else in my hands, or something, I don't know. Queen Elsa up there, Queen E. Can you tell me what I should do? No, okay. I actually do. By the way, I don't think I've told this story on air. Wow, I'm getting so off track. But it is March, and I want to give this person a shout out on the air. Nicole, who I work with and is a lovely, lovely lady, she, for Christmas, got me this, put it up on the camera, she got me this Elsa figurine, and it is gorgeous, so, and it's actually made of, I don't know what it's made of, but it would break if you dropped it too hard, and I wouldn't do that, for God, I would not do that, but... Yeah, Queen E kind of looks down upon me and everything that I do. She doesn't look down to me. I look down to her. I look up to her, quite literally. So she's above me. She's on the top shelf of my desk here, and I'm merely at the bottom of the desk. Anyway, wow, that was a tangent and a half out of 10. Wowzers, where was I even going with that? Okay, moving on quite quickly too, please, let's get the show back on track. So that's right, Facebook. don't know where. See, I did that again. I need to stop that. Someone needs to email in and tell me how to do that. So don't know anymore. Can we just end this segment and just start again? Please, can this segment just end? And we just start this segment again? Okay, back on track. All right. We need a record scratch. I need to come clean. I'm sure I have a record scratch in here somewhere. I have to. I have that. All right, so Facebook. We posted something on Facebook at facebook.com/genericliveshow. This week, locally, we do a local show. We do focus on Queensland and more particularly the Far North area first. So there's been this back and forth for about 2 months now where Cairns bus drivers have been calling for higher wages and higher pay and that sort of thing as well. So you've got bus drivers who are calling for, it does say in this article, they're asking for a 5.1% wage increase, which would take them up to 9% above the national award wage. But this has been going on for months. This has been going on since October of last year was the first industrial action, and there was one last week. But this one's a little bit special than the other ones. The other ones involved reducing services for the day. This one, however, involves something a little bit different. Bus drivers are calling for wage increase and are planning strikes in Cairns with major Sunbus service disruptions between 10 and 2 tomorrow. The company says routes 110 and 142 operate hourly during the industrial actions, with passengers advised to seek alternative travel arrangements, which means that they only ran the 110 and the 142 services within those hours. So my question was, and I don't think I had this answered, was what happens if they're in the middle of a service between 10 and 2? Do they just pull over on the side of the road with passengers in there? Yeah, halfway out of town. Yeah, sorry, you have to get off here because I'm actually striking. I'm assuming it would be 10 o'clock to finish their run, you know, at the end of their run. Although, actually, that's true. If they finished a run at 9:30 and their next service started at, say, let's say 10 past the hour, they wouldn't do that run, would they? They wouldn't do the 10 past 10 run. So they'd be sitting from 9:30 till 10 past 10. But you know what I mean? Like, they'd be halfway through. That's not how that works, but there are some services that do have that gap because you got to account for meal breaks and that sort of thing as well. But say, for example, if a bus arrived in the city at, say, 25 past 9, and the next service left the city on the next bus route, left at 9:30, they wouldn't do that 9:30 service, would they? Because they wouldn't get back in time. Or they wouldn't end the end of their route. Huh. Anyway, ponderous. Ponderous thought. We're already running late and I'm just spending time now pondering random things. Sunbus General Manager Bob Osond said the Transportation Workers Union demand a 5.1% wage increase was unreasonable in the current economic environment. Quote, our offer of a 2.8% increase each year for 3 years is almost twice inflation and 1.5 million above what we receive for driver payments under our contract with TransLink, he says. Quote, this offer will be approximately 9% above the national award conditions. Unquote. All passengers were advised to monitor at sunbus.com.au/Cairns or translink.com.au/Cairns before planning their journey. They can also contact TransLink on 131230, translink.com.au/Cairns. Probably not a bad idea to... They've got something there where you can sign up for updates.
this is not over, and this will be far from over. So it probably would not be a bad idea to kind of get on that and update, you know, go on there and, you know, stay up to date on that sort of these sorts of updates and that sort of thing as well, if that makes sense. Meanwhile, Adele has rained down on this fine state of Queensland, speaking of which. So there you go. fine state. So actually, I will play. This has a... This has an autoplay thing of people arriving. I'm going to let this play and see what it says. If it says anything, and it's going to be a commercial. But I can mute that one, so that's okay. So while that's going, an incredibly lucky Adele fan was given free front row tickets an hour before the start of the first live show at the Gabba on Saturday. I won't play that music because I'll get done for copyright. Wowzers. That's a lot of people arriving at once. Wow, that's a flood of people. Jeepers. That's a lot of people at once. Wow. And they're all just like... They're all going across the road at the same time. Wow. Is there people on the road? What on earth? Oh, and they just opened the gates. Wow, okay. You look at all the people that are going up the stairs. Jeepers. Look at them, okay. The moment they open up the gates, you can just see... Psh, okay. The 26-year-old Cassie Tapsell got a call from a mutual friend about 6:30 p.m. as she sat at the Pineapple Hotel at Kangaroo Point saying... There are 4 tickets on offer in the inner circle next to the stage. Wow. Less than 90 minutes later, Miss Tapsell, along with her husband Alex and 2 friends, got a glimpse of Adele just meters away. It was quite comfortable. We had plenty of room, she said. The concert was amazing, really incredible. I loved the idea of the circular stadium. It was great to get everyone involved. Her little chats between... were hilarious. The opening of Hello was really amazing, and everyone was really excited and waiting for that moment. Miss Tapsell said it was a case of third time lucky for the perfect selfie, with several dodgy attempts before that and after the final product. She walked quite a few times, but we had to be conscientious of security. It was tricky, she said. I didn't realise we had a good one until after the show. Aww. So it's not like they planned that. There were plenty of other surprises during Adele's premier Gabba show that were pleasant and others not so. Despite having 180 additional portable toilets brought in especially for the event, women were first to use the male restrooms in the stadium, even though there were substantial queues outside. Oof. That's not good. Jesus. So the men had to use the portable ones and the female had to use the male ones? Like, that's... Jeez, that's not good. There were also personal messages from Adele herself shot into the crowd as confetti. Aww. Oh, could you imagine that, though? Just getting one of those messages, that'd be good. While everyone in the Gabba enjoyed the concert itself, some people's experiences were surrounded by pieces of bad luck. Oh. That's not good. But overall, plenty of beautiful moments. There you go. Oh, this is going to be 12 seconds and I'm going to get kicked off YouTube for playing this 12 seconds, but I don't care. Wow. It is circular. There you go. Hey, if I just talk over it, doesn't really matter. It does. But that circular feel with Adele in the middle, that would be that's just perfect. I really want to go to another concert. I know putting Passenger and Adele on the same level is a bit weird, but I really do want to go back. I really do want to go to a next as a big concert. I love that Passenger concert when it came to town. But yeah, going to a concert, going to that next level would be amazing. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, you know what else is amazing? It's our time for the Washington Post, the Generic Live Show, and Washington Post's Trump Tracker. Speaking of circular things, I don't know what connection. Having Adele and Trump in the same sentence just kind of doesn't feel right. Hello, it's me. I don't know. What is that about? That's not a Trump voice. Yeah, I'm doing that leg thing. I need to play with something while I do the show. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, Dow Campbell here with you. I did that again. That's going to bother me, and I'm going to keep doing it unless someone tells me not to. Dramatic. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:50.
This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Oh, Jesus. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, you know what? We're doing that again. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here. My microphone was muted. So that secret that I gave away, who knows what that would be, but thanks for joining us, whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep. You never know, you know, here at 10:56 on Australian Eastern Standard Time or 7:56 in the Eastern Time, you never really know. I need to go back and see. Oh good, it was just that last segment. This last 5 minutes that was muted. So there you go. Anyway, we're checking the Trump tracker. Here's the thing. There's the joke again. You know, it's really... The joke's funny if you say it once. It's not funny if you have to say it more than once. But anyway. Wow. See, I've been doing this for 3 years now. You would think that I've mastered the need to unmute my microphone, but clearly not. So... Trump tracker! So the one thing that really got kind of stuck is the suspend immigration from terror-prone regions where vetting cannot safely occur. That really got stuck because we covered that Trump signed the executive order to temporarily ban citizens from 7 countries to come in, but that got overturned from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, so it's been kind of moved to installed status unless Trump wants to take it higher, kind of taking it to the next level, that kind of, and ruled 3-0 on that travel ban too, so it wasn't even a 2-1 sort of deal, it was kind of got moved to a 3-0 situation, so it's not like, it kind of just passed, just failed or just passed. It didn't get by a long shot. So next up, he's launched on February 9th, going back a fair ways. Trump signed an executive order directing the Justice Department to form a task force on violent crime. That's been passed. And also, on the rule of immigration, begin removing more than 2 million criminal illegal immigrants from the country. The Department of Homeland Security issued memos that considerably broaden the pool of undocumented immigrants, prioritize the removal, including those who have charged. See, I'm all thrown off now. Who have been charged with crimes but not convicted. Those who commit acts that constitute a chargeable criminal offence, and those who an immigration officer concludes pose a risk to public safety or national security. So there you go. That is Trump's latest efforts. Well, we're going to take a break because this segment's not going to get any better because half the jokes were ruined, so we may as well... This segment's a write-off. But yeah, we checked the Trump tracker. You know, I had this big gag lined up, but hey, you know, sometimes these things just don't happen. It's a show, and I solo produce it, so, you know, off my back. Thanks for joining us. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, I sound like I'm getting out of here, but we've still got one more hour. We've got one whole hour to make up for that as we continue here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. So, we have had penalty rates. They are a huge hot button issue here in Australia over the last 2 weeks. The Fair Work Commission has decided to cut penalty rates and then in turn cut wages of hard-working men and women. These impact particularly those who are of unskilled young people, according to the Fair Work Commission. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. More on that as we continue. It's 11 o'clock.